Wonderful. Which brings us around to the Lincoln weather. Highs of 9 degrees centigrade, lows of 3 degrees centigrade. After a fairly wet start, I think the droplets are beginning to form even as we speak, it'll be a day of blustery rain and showers, possibly turning windy with gales likely.
This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Gail Loftus, of course, being one of the founders of Siren FM. No, I didn't really say that. Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar, what is the situation with Frodo?
I think he's asleep.
Now you think he's asleep. Is he just attempting to fool us? Because you know, Ben is looking down the headphones at present and having a little peer. Ben, what do you see with Frodo? Are you using the all-seeing Lewis eye?
I don't know. I'm so lost.
Ben is unsure. Hannah's doing a bit of astral travelling with her cloak of invisibility and so on. Hannah, what do you think Frodo's position is at present?
Maybe napping. He could be in a state between. If we don't know, he could just be resting, closing his eyes, but not actually asleep.
Yeah. So we don't really know, Gabriella.
That's pretty accurate, actually.
Yeah, he may well be napping. Of course it's accurate because you don't have Hannah Brown and Ben Lewis on the programme as Midweek Drivettes if they don't have that power of prescience across the globe. In fact, it's amazing the CIA don't actually employ them. It's a possibility. coming up very shortly, we'll be talking to Kaylee Carr, who is, of course, a graduate at the University of Sunderland. And she's basically a bit of a guilt trip here in many ways, because Kaylee asked me to promote her website a few weeks ago. And, of course, haven't done a thing. Haven't shared it, haven't done anything whatsoever. So we will actually do that publicly in terms of making sure that she can get some traffic generated and so on. Because otherwise, what is life if you can't do a bit of cross-promotion on websites and so on and so forth, really?
It's what you do for your friends.
Even though technically she is a University of Teesside graduate, so I don't care. Sorry. It's just a message that sort of works across.
Positive, isn't it? Exactly. Very positive message.
Exactly. All model stuff. Gabriella, allowing for the fact that in Gibraltar, I think your team share the same sort of strip and indeed the same name as Lincoln City, the Imps and so on, is the success of Lincoln City in the Emirates FA Cup going down well, or is it just a case of we don't understand this thing you call association football?
No, I have heard of it locally. People have mentioned that Lincoln City is doing quite well because we've got the Lincoln, I think it's called the Lincoln Red Imps, which are one of our league teams. So, and they're actually one of the, I think they were like the undefeated champions of Gibraltar for like 10 years or something like that. So, it seems like the luck has also rubbed off on actual Lincoln.
Clearly, we need to ensure that as far as the whole sort of package is concerned, we could actually have that Gibraltar Sincil Bank package, really. It's a whole routine. But even Brighton don't actually have a team in Gibraltar, I don't think, then.
I shouldn't think so, no.
No. Hannah, Harwich?
No.
They barely have a team to start off with.
Barely have a team to start off with, but never mind. They're all interested in Quidditch, and that's the most important thing, really. Still heaps of things to actually sort of work through, so let's not sort of get too excited amongst ourselves. But what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, Gabriella? Will you be worrying about Hurricane Doris as it begins to batter the coast of Britain, or possibly provide the media and some of our colleagues the opportunity to actually just go crazy about the weather?
Well, that wasn't forecast in my day, but it is raining all day today in Gibraltar, but I don't think it's that bad. But my day is just going to work today, so it's
that's at the end of the day, it's your dedication to duty and actually heading off to the working environment within the august wonderful corridors of the Gibraltar Chronicle that makes the world just tick over in a better place, I feel. I mean, Ben, you endorse that, I would have thought.
Yeah. Are you still doing your court case there, is it? Or is that sort of dried up?
Yeah, that's going to continue on Monday for the closings. So I'll just be going to the magistrates' court today.
I'll be going
to the lower court.
So. Never stops.
Yeah, these things, it's lasted like a month, that court case, and hopefully it'll come to an end next week. But they've given the lawyers an entire week just to sort out what they're going to say very end.
No, exactly, we'll sort of start off all over again. It's like a cycle of life.
This is when the appeals come and then it begins again.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, Hannah, would you like to put those last two questions to our main soul in Gibraltar, of course, Gabriella Peralta?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Yes, I have, thank you.
Will you be joining us again next week?
Yep, we'll be here.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I did actually confess earlier in the programme that although I'd said, yes, of course, happy to promote and cross-promote your log because in the immortal words of Kaylee Carr, I know this is a huge ask, but I'm currently trying to advertise my blog as much as possible to gain more followers. So I was going to ask if it's possible for you to promote my blog via social media. I would massively appreciate your help. I, of course, said, yeah, of course. Did I do it? No, no, sorry. You know, it's confession time.
Yes, but at a cost.
Exactly. But, you know, I thought, well, if anybody could actually mention unravelapprettypuzzle.wordpress.com, that's unravelapprettypuzzle.wordpress.com, it would obviously be the creator of unravelapprettypuzzle.wordpress.com. That would be whom, Ben?
Kaylee Carr.
The Kaylee Carr, exactly. And indeed, Hannah, there we have Unravel a Pretty Puzzle, dreams, fashion, lifestyle, and guess what? She's online at present. Kaylee Carr! How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed, apart, of course, from the guilt factor, because clearly that's been worrying me, sleepless nights, everything with the whole sort of system. But you know, it's done now, and we'll continue to be... Because I'm sure, Ben, you'd be happy to cross-promote the blog address.
I can do.
Yeah, and Ben's on the case because he's a Level 2 Public Relations undergraduate, so he knows what's what, as indeed does Hannah Brown. I'm sure, Hannah, you'd also share the word.
Yes, of course.
At a cost.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is these a 23-year-old northeast blogger who graduated from university in November 2014 with the BA Honours in Multimedia Journalism, or for our Los Angeles correspondents, Multimedia Journalism. Important. Became inspired to set up her blog in 2014 after exploring a variety online. Her online bubble is styled in a diary format, able to share with guys experiences, life, things that she loves, fashion, and you know, she'd be ideally suited if she was obviously part of the studio side to take up the opportunity of going down to London for London Fashion Week. Yeah. Tragically, she's... Oh. Yeah, you see. I thought that would capture your attention, Miss Carr, somehow. Yeah. I just, you know, time and time again we think, oh, they're going to get us on just to basically pour scorn on my football club, Sunderland FC. No. We've got to talk about, you know, London Fashion Week. But if you can't make that, you may well be interested in Lincoln Fashion Week, which, of course, is coming up later on in the year, I think around about May time, because we'll be speaking to Jessica Wickham from the Lincoln Big Association. She's coming about 8:30 this morning to share those thoughts about how part of... It's a strategy, you see. We send our people down to London Fashion Week. They basically sort of remove all the positive sort of concepts, and then they apply them to Lincoln Fashion Week. See what we're doing there, Kaylee? Very subtle.
That sounds very exciting, yeah. I may have to get some holidays in.
Exactly. I've got 500 days of summer, English countryside, no escape. There's so many sort of delights that we've actually got here. Life in pictures. Hello, February. Almost out there. I'm totally shocked that January has already been and gone, yet some people are adamant that the month went way too slow. I completely disagree. The first month of 2017 saw us celebrate Yarg's turning 28. I don't know what... It's some strange... North Yarg's?
That's my... Yarg's. Yeah, that's my partner who I live with. Yarg's. You did it right.
Yeah, you see. I thought it was some sort of celebration of 2008's 40th anniversary. Borag Thong. It's some sort of strange, slender-birthing sort of routine. Sometimes, you know, the people of Sunderland separated from the rest of the world by the English language. It's a strange and wonderful thing. Hannah, any questions for Kaylee Carr, blogger, and indeed originator of Unravel a Pretty Puzzle, dreams, fashion, and lifestyle.
Well, what inspires you for what you write on your blog? How do you get your ideas?
Sometimes it's a little hard, actually. I just kind of share things that I love to do. It's kind of like an online diary for me, where I can share like my experiences and life with stuff, like with an audience. It's also like full of like reviews on movies. Anything that like really comes to mind on the day, to be honest with you, it's just a mixture of so many different things. So the best way to describe it is just like a diary for myself, to be honest.
Quite literally, Kaylee's stream of consciousness ramble. It's fantastic. It's just like stepping into a whole strange and peculiarly wonderful world. Ben,
how long has your blog been going on for?
I started originally in 2014. I had a previous one set up, but it was like a lot of work needing to be done to it and everything else, so I kind of scrapped that full idea. And started again in 2014 and been blogging like regularly since. I really enjoyed it.
You may indeed, Ben, even feature in the current entry, because sometimes she has been known to even sort of include her sort of correspondence aspects.
Oh, I feel famous.
And Hannah as well. You know, it's very exciting, really, for that perspective. Yeah. So that continues. Now, I say, obviously, we'd originally planned to come to you at 9 o'clock, but Kaylee sent a sort of email saying she's already been booked to go to work at 9 o'clock. They've called her in because they cannot exist in their lives without Kaylee Carr's little dose of sunshine coming across the basis. So we've come to you slightly earlier, which means we have to squeeze you in between Gibraltar's very own Gabriella Peralta and, of course, London's very own Richard Fitzwilliams. That's one of the reasons we're a little bit late going to Richard, but we need to go there very shortly. So, Hannah, you did the Gabriella piece so well, and Holly hasn't arrived as yet. Ben's still working his way up through the whole system. Go for the last two questions with Kaylee Carr. And let's mention that blog address once again. It is
unravel@prettypuzzle.wordpress.com.
That's about seven times we've actually plugged it so far. So, messages out there. Last two questions, please. Hannah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
I certainly have, yeah.
And will you be able to join us again soon?
Of course, I'd love to.
Yay! No mention about Sunderland's hopeless premiership form at all. It's wonderful you see, you get through that. Very good.
If I wait for just a second more, I know I'll forget what I came here for. My head was so full.
So Jessica Wickham will be joining us shortly from Lincoln Big to talk about London Fashion Week. And accordingly, we've got those two fashionable midweek drivettes in the studio. That would be Kaylee Umfraville. Hello, Kaylee.
Hi.
And Holly McGrattan. Hello, Holly.
Good morning.
And we've also got the keeper of the lists when it comes to Richard Fitzwilliams, the person who has everything sorted out in such a wonderful classificatory manner, Hannah Brown.
Yeah, I love making lists.
Always important to actually sort of make lists. And we've got Ben Lewis as well.
Good morning.
Splendid. Richard, it's over to you, sir. What magic are you going to bring to us through the medium of the audio capacity that is radio this very day?
This day I am beginning with the Oscars and my predictions. I just want to make it a bit more exciting because, as you all know, La La Land has 14 nominations and it probably will win. Yes, but by no means certain because with so much happening across the Atlantic with so many upheavals, Donald Trump likes it big, he likes size. Well, what better riposte than a small, low budget?
Oh, please, Richard, you don't want to actually put two fingers up at the President of the United States, the holder of the Oval Office, for goodness sakes.
That is precisely what they might do. I've been watching Moonlight, and I've been watching the critical... it's a little gem. It's a superb movie, and it's also very interesting, because Moonlight and La La Land have shared the honours so far. It's perfectly true, La La Land record at the Globes, we know that. And at the BAFTAs, yes, it did well, but... The Oscars, Oscar has a conscience. Remember the last 2 years, Oscar so white, Moonlight has an all-black cast. Remember the LGBT theme of Moonlight. It's about the way a young gay guy discovers his sexual orientation, and it is a powerful movie. It's also got a perfect cast. Only problem I found, I couldn't, as in several other movies in the Best Picture list, hear all the dialogue, but here is a possibility. It could beat La La Land, and here's another possibility I just want to throw out. What about Hidden Figures? I mean, the occupant of the White House doesn't respect women, we know that, but Hidden Figures is about three black women who were behind the 1962 launch of John Glenn into space by
now. Richard, we talked to Brianne about this last week, but please do not alienate the Trumpster. I mean, you'll never get your invites to perform at his presidential parties if you carry on in this line.
When I do Mutiny on the Bounty, perhaps. Yes, it might appeal to him.
Exactly.
It is a possibility. But it's a real possibility that Best Picture, though likely to be La La Land, could be another one of the two I mentioned, and the Best Actor race is very, very exciting because Casey Affleck playing a down at heel janitor with a past that you will discover when you see the movie, and I hope you all have, Manchester by the Sea, is superb and is the favorite. But Denzel Washington has won at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Now, out of the 23 years that they've been going, 19 of their winners have won at the Oscars, and that means that Washington's superb tour de force is Troy Maxson, also a character who's, putting it mildly, a walking disaster, but he'll fight everyone from his family to the Grim Reaper, an extraordinary performance. He won and has the slight edge. So that, too, is close. And I just wanted to mention Emma Stone is almost certain, in my opinion, to win for Best Actress for La La Land, and it's a wonderful performance. But Isabel Huppert is up there for Elle, a movie that when you see it, you certainly won't forget it. We'll be discussing it in a fortnight. And I have to say that the Academy sometimes take a body of work into account. If they do that, Huppert is an icon of the screen and could edge Stone out in a shock. Upset. I mean, she did wonderfully at the Globes, and this could happen.
Okay, let's put it to the oracle of wisdom that is the Midweek Drivette team. Kayleigh Umpreville, do you think Richard's got a point? Will La La Land maybe not win everything, or is it a case of who knows? What's your thoughts?
I think La La Land will win most things, but I kind of hope that the others will prove to overcome that as well.
Okay, Holly?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I kind of hope it doesn't, and I don't think it will win all nominations.
Ooh, okay. Hannah?
Well, I've yet to see La La Land, but obviously I've heard many great things, and it has been doing well, so...
It's another day of sun. Sorry. Exit there.
I'm assuming it's from the movie.
Oh, good. Exactly. I could all go
seamless.
Da-da-da-da. Ben?
I'd like to think that other people could sort of stand a chance, but I don't know. I kind of have the feeling
that
City
could
be. Yeah, well, yeah. Well, all right.
Exactly.
But
yes, it just goes on to show.
Yeah.
If you're interested, the Phil Leonis predictions were as follows. So this, of course, the battle between Phil Leonis.
Taylor Alley for Best Supporting Act. Viola Davis.
Yes, Richard, I'm just going to actually go through Phil Leonis. His lines are as follows. Best Picture, La La Land. Best Director, Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Best Actor, Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Best Actress, Emma Stone for La La Land. Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. Best Supporting Actress, Viola Davis for Fences. Best Original Screenplay, Kenneth Lonergan, Manchester by the Sea. Best Adapted Screenplay, Barry Jenkins and Tarryl McCraney for Moonlight. Best Foreign Language Film, Tony Erdman. Best Animated Feature, Zootopia. And finally, in the Leonis predictions, Best Documentary Feature, OJ, Made in America.
Or I would say 13th Day of a DuVernay movie, but you saw mine, so
I did, yes.
Almost exactly the same.
I know. It's just so dull, really. I thought there'd be sort of...
But that was the point. The whole point actually I was trying to get at is that it would be dull if everything happened as predicted, but so often it doesn't. And La La Land, though a marvellous movie, homage to Tinseltown, we know why, I mean, the colours and so forth, but you were humming City of Stars, and that's the only tune that you can hum. You haven't got...
No, There's Another Day of Sun. That's the opening line. So there's two that you've actually got there.
I suppose, but, I mean, I'm just saying, a large number of people that I've spoken to haven't enjoyed it or have been disappointed in it or haven't thought it was outstanding. Those votes might go to Moonlight. Alternatively, Moonlight and Hidden Figures might split... The vote, the anti-La La Land vote. But remember, Hidden Figures beat Star Wars in one week. So I'm just saying that to make it exciting, it's important to look at...
We will look back after Sunday's event and sort of... sure. Will you be having a party, Ben, for the Oscars? Do you have an Academy Award party?
No.
No. Hannah?
Probably not, but I'll try and watch it.
Holly, a media production student, obviously party down every time there's an awards ceremony, presumably.
I can confirm we have a small party going on.
I thought, exactly. Now, by small, is that only 500
in
guests?
In the small hours of the morning.
In the small, the wee small hours of the morning. So, Kaylee, you'll be there. And,
I will be there.
Made your predictions, checking out the frocks and all the details, etc.
Yes.
Yeah. There we are. It is good to see that Midweek Drive is represented in some small way by yourself and the rest of the team.
I think it will be very, very interesting. Or it could be. I do think, Phil, well, I mean, as I said, you got my list. It's almost identical.
Mm.
But at a time of enormous seismic change, Oscar has a conscience. There have been 2 years of Oscar So White. Moonlight has got an LGBT theme. And, as I say, La La Land isn't as popular as it's made out for a lot of the people who've seen it. In fact, Hidden Figures has done better at the box office in the States. But yes, I do think it will win. I don't, however, think it will equal Ben-Hur and Titanic and Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, 11 wins. 14 nominations equal the record, but we will see, of course.
We will indeed. Now, if you are a pedant when it comes to grammar, and you actually saw Richard's delivery here, you would possibly have actually translated his next line as loving 50 Shades Darker. No, it's not. It's separate movies on that sort of basis. One, of course, being the darker scenario. The other one, of course, being the celebration of the real-life courage and commitment of an interracial couple, Richard and Mildred Loving, who fell in love and were married in 1958. Over to you, Richard.
Indeed, and it's directed by Jeff Nichols, and this is a film that's very powerful. The reason it's powerful is that it is an understated film. It isn't in your face. It's telling a story, and it tells the story very well. Richard Loving is a white construction worker. He falls in love with a black woman and family friend, Mildred Jeter, played by Ruth Negger. They know that under the Virginia anti-miscegenation laws at the time, they can't marry there, so they marry in Washington, D.C., but they don't want to move from Virginia. And there's a raid on their home, they're arrested, they're sentenced to a year in prison, but it's suspended so long as they stay away from Virginia for 25 years, so they move to Washington, but they return, and they're arrested again. Subsequently, they have other children, and also leaving for Washington, but Mildred wants to return to the country. It's a rural area they know, they both love, and he has promised to build her a home there. And she's extremely tough. This is the strength of Ruth Negger's performance, because, as I say, it's an understated role. A lot is neither a persons of many words. This is, again, the strength of two performances that are excellent, because they're people, they're in love with each other. They're not your normal type who'd be out in the street protesting. But Mildred has a steely side. She sees Dr. King's Freedom March. She writes to the Attorney General, Bobby Kennedy. She gets counsel, and basically it is decided that they can take their case to the Supreme Court. And there's a very, very moving moment in the film, because he won't go into, Richard doesn't want to attend the court. So when his lawyer asks, is there anything you'd like me to say, he says simply, tell the judge, I love my wife. And it seems like that, it's moments like that that make this film well worth seeing, because the Lovings return to Virginia, and when they win the Supreme Court decision, it's unanimous, which prohibits anti-miscegenation law. It makes it unconstitutional. Eventually, he starts building their home, and it's a movie that tells a story. It's only 60 years ago or less, and it tells it extremely well. It's carried by the central performances, and though very occasionally slightly difficult to hear, it's one of those movies that it's just the sheer sensitivity and strength of the story, which is carried through, as Lion, for example, was not, by first-class performances and also extremely good direction. It's an understated film. It's not a movie which so to speak, waves its message at you. Its message is obvious. It's just the strength of the story.
Okay, Richard, let's do the same scenario. Holly, will you be checking out Loving?
Yes, that was the first time I've seen a trailer, actually. So I just love how their surname was Loving.
It's almost romantic. As if it was written for the universe. Kaylee?
I think I will, definitely.
Hannah?
Yes, of course.
So it's scoring in the positive sort of Richard Fitzwilliam selection there.
Yes, it's got a smiley face next to it.
Smiley face, Richard. In the Hannah Brown sort of schedule from that perspective. And Ben?
I didn't see a huge amount of it, but from what I saw, I think it was quite interesting, yeah.
I sense from the prescient power of the midweek drive that when a wounded Christian Grey tries to entice a cautious Anna Steele back into his life, it can only end in Richard Fitzwilliam's tears, as in Dakota Johnson, Jamie Dorman, Eric Johnson, Kim Basinger, and Bella Heathcote. Of course,
yes,
Bella did wonderfully well.
Cast, but my goodness gracious me, I mean, this was quite an experience, because I saw it with others, which is very, very healthy for a critic. They were giving free popcorn away to entice people into the cinema, and 90% were female, and they were roaring with laughter throughout this leaden, turgid movie. And I have to say, yes, Anastasia is tempted back because Christian has nightmares about appearing in a film like that. I'm so sorry, he has nightmares about being abused as a child. She's got a new publishing job. Her editor, Jack Hyde, played by Eric Johnson, is after her. And, of course, we have Christian, played by Jamie Dorman. And, my goodness me, he is so proud of his pecs. The close-ups of those muscles become so, so, so boring. Dakota Johnson, she can act. Yes, she can indeed, but to act, you need a script. This hasn't got a script, it hasn't got a story, and my goodness me, the popcorn crackled throughout this movie, and then it wasn't popcorn, it was laughter. Laughter because all the sex scenes, you've got the most ghastly music, apart from the fact that the dungeon is approached as though it was something serious. I mean, there is nothing serious in this. It is badly scripted, badly directed. The original was directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. This is directed by Sam Foley. The cast, if they have any talents, and Dakota Johnson does, remember her in A Bigger Splash, are completely wasted. There's a masked ball, to be sure. They all ought to wear masks. Masks in shame for appearing in drivel like this. And really, really, just to give you one idea of how silly it is, there is a helicopter crash in one scene. We don't see the crash, but Christian's in his copter. There's someone with him. We see it on fire, heading towards a series of trees. It's obviously going to crash and kill them all, although, of course, given his tastes, no doubt he'll enjoy the plastic surgery that I assumed would follow. But no, we then cut to his family and Anastasia watching on television for news of him. Flashes on the news, he's alive and well, and he walks into the room a few seconds later. I'd walk out if I wasn't reviewing it.
Well, Hannah, I know it's difficult to really decide where Rich is going to go on that particular score, but, you know, it's a tough call. Let's ask our newest arrival in the studio from Lincoln Big, the legendary, awesome Jessica Wickham. Jessica, 50 Shades Darker, does that appeal to your good self? Or does it say, no, I'm far purer than that?
I'm not too sure. I didn't go to the cinema to see the first one.
Nice. Good decision.
I watched it with parents, which was slightly awkward.
Exactly. Not a movie to be seen with parents
no.
at all. Ben?
I've heard mixed reviews. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't watched the first one. And Richard, is it worth seeing the first one?
No, it's of course based on E.L. James's erotic, so-called erotic novel. I mean, I got the novel, I started paging through it, and eventually the only way I could rush through all these hundreds of this ghastly prose. The only way was that a lot of it's in bold. Remember, one is a dominant, the other is a submissive. So,
it's not so much erotic, more erratic, perhaps.
Right.
It's a difference.
Oh, no, it's not erratic. It's perfectly consistent. It's consistently awful.
So, Kaylee, your thoughts on this one?
Well, I haven't seen the first one either, but I don't think I'll see the second one.
And Holly?
I have seen the first one, and I thought it was awful. It's awfully directed.
Oh. Yeah.
So Hannah, I think we've decided where in the column of Hannah Richard Fitzwilliam's connections. Not a smiley face, not even a
It's a sad face. Although I think I might turn it into an angry face.
Angry face.
Yeah.
Angry face. You've got an angry faced emoticon, Richard.
I mean, the theme of this movie is I don't want to live forever. I certainly don't if I'm going to be seeing rubbish like this.
Yeah. So, Ben, back to the Fitzwilliam style there with a vengeance, I feel.
Yeah, he's not holding back today, are you, Richard?
Well, I just think that it's just when you see a sort of soft focus, silly movie like this, which is a sort of...
Richard, we get the feeling it's unlikely to be up for the Academy Awards next year. That's what we said.
Well, it might well be the first one. Very well, since you mentioned the awards, a very appropriate comment. It's up for the Golden Raspberry Award.
And on that bombshell, Hannah, last two questions, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this morning?
Considerably more than I did the last movie we were discussing, yes.
I'm very happy to hear that. Will you be joining us again next week?
I most certainly will be.
Next up, Lincoln Big and Lincoln Fashion Week and London Fashion Week and Jessica Wickham. So, events and marketing assistant for Lincoln BIG, Jessica Wickham. Welcome back to the studio. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent.
Are you?
Very good indeed, good. And even more delighted to say that online we've got Ian Lennox in Newcastle. Good morning, Ian. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. I know you've got a wonderful, dedicated follower of fashion in your own way, Ian, but bear with us. It'll all become wondrous as we head through the studio piece. A reminder for people who actually are paying attention to who the studio team is. We have Kayleigh Amperville, we have Holly McGrattan, and Hannah Brown. Hannah Brown, and Ben Lewis, of course, with Jessica Wickham back in full force, because not only are the Lincoln Imps doing sensationally well in the FA Cup and marching its way through, phenomenal in all sorts of ways there, but Lincoln Fashion Week is continuing to grow in every marvellous, wonderful ways, and you're off to London tomorrow to do what, Jessica?
We are, yes. We're going to London Fashion Week Festival tomorrow. Mm. London Fashion Week has already been gone, is it still on? It might be still on.
You're looking at me, and I have to say, when it comes to fashion, I love to support it, but don't ask me questions like that. You know, it's just far too complex.
Yes, and London Fashion Week Festival, in the same building, it's in the Strand. That started today, and it's continuing until the weekend, and we've been lucky enough to join. Virgin East Coast Trains have kindly sponsored our first-class train all the way down there, and so we can sit back and relax in a new refurbished carriage all the way down there, and then enjoy the fashion in the in the city.
Now, Kayleigh, this is going to be your first official location report for the Midweek Drive, so tremendous responsibility there. Are you looking forward to it?
I'm so excited.
You know, traditionally, we usually use a Rover 25 to actually ferry people around, not first-class carriage, with respect. It didn't work. It worked splendidly well from that sort of point of view. Great stuff there. And obviously, we'll be doing live links during the course of the day and on the journey as well from that point of view. This all feeds in, of course, to Lincoln Fashion Week, which takes place in May?
April and May. It's over the first May bank holiday, so 28th of April to the 5th of May. It's a week long, a big week long, Friday to Friday. We're launching on the 28th at Waterside and throughout the city, where you can come and collect a goodie bag. We'll have a fashion fair in the Waterside, where we're inviting lots of designers and fashion makers into the city, and local designers as well will be able to sell their wares. Lots of pop-up little fashion styling tours, talks, workshops, experiences throughout the week, and then ending with a big finale on the Friday, the 5th of May, at the Alive Church. So it'll be a spectacular event.
Quite literally the day after Star Wars Day.
Yes, quite literally. I keep saying May the 4th, and it's not. It's May the 5th, because I've got Star Wars in my brain.
That's understandable. So, Ian, I think the next response is probably going to be self-evident, but have Newcastle ever considered the city actually having a Newcastle Fashion Week at all?
I've got no idea. I wouldn't be partaking it anyway because I know nothing about it. In fact, as a young man, I was once asked to be a model, and the result was all my colleagues nearly died laughing because I dressed like a tramp. So, no. But I would say we have two universities in Newcastle. One's Newcastle University, obviously, and the other one's Northumbria University. And Northumbria University has got a nationally wide reputation for its fashion students. They win awards quite regularly. So I don't know. Yes, I should imagine they hold their own fashion shows.
Fundamentally, Ian, it may well be that in the small part of the world that is that sort of aspect of Newcastle, you might win a few awards. But the national thing, clearly, you look at Lincoln, aren't you, in many ways, as Paris, Milan, Rome, you know, Lincoln heading into that sort of field. it's all right. It's just
I'm becoming suspicious of the sort of breakfast you have.
What?
You know, Alex.
It's a wondrous time. Wondrous time. Holly, are you looking forward to your first official location report for the Madrid Drive? I mean, it makes that original line when you spoke to Ben Lewis and you thought, what does Ben get into in that sort of booth on a Thursday morning where we pass by and we see him there? And now look, you see, you get the first class travel, Ben on the other hand.
I was offered the fashion travel, but I think for everyone's sake, that's probably best not.
Where are you going to double lift to, Ben?
It's a way forward. You've got to match the sort of things from that perspective, and I look forward to actually doing some live feeds as well from actually studios up in Teesside, so I'll be up there, and it'd be wonderful. More about that later. Hannah, questions for either Jessica or Ian at this stage?
Well, as Ian, have you ever been to a fashion week?
No.
Would you come to Lincoln's Fashion Week? That's the
no, I wouldn't, because it would be a waste of a ticket on me, because I wouldn't understand what's going on. I wouldn't be able to appreciate it.
We are still looking for male models if you'd like to join.
No, I'm far too old for that now, thank you.
Any age, any size, any gender.
Hey?
Exactly, it's a whole new world that's coming out there. Much as indeed the camo suggestion yesterday was also a whole new world, particularly as camo was the only person who actually delivered it because it was, of course, presented by William Coles. Camo, of course, being wrapped up with the Country Music Awards in Nashville. So, Ian, are you pretty much ready and set to actually have a listen to the Mo Pitney number, which is this week's country music themed aspect for obviously critical awareness for both yourself and the two cats, Ollie and Oboe? Are they having their breakfast this morning? Are they?
Well, Ollie's just had their breakfast. Ollie's sort of settled down on the table opposite to me in a little seat. Yep. I think when I put this on to speaker, I think he'll vacate the room, mind, but no mind.
Yeah, this could be critical.
I don't know where Oboe's gone.
So Ollie is in the Simon Cowell cat chair in terms of
have a decision. Looking about as happy as well.
If he sort of does think, stop wasting my time, we'll know where he's going. Ben, Holly and Kaylee, are you set and ready for... Of course, Holly, you heard it yesterday, I believe. So,
yes, you did.
In fact, you both heard it yesterday. So Hannah didn't hear it yesterday. And nor indeed did Jessica, unless you were tuned into the programme, in which case, no.
Possibly not.
No, exactly.
Sorry.
It's Mo Pitney. It's everywhere on Siren 107.3 FM.
Open up my eyes and feel you by my side for the morning.